So I just want to add my voice of profound gratitude to so many for this day. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. It'll be brief, I promise you. It'll be short downstairs in the luncheon. But I am so grateful for this, for all the work that has gone into making this a very special day, not only for myself and my family, but for us as a church body. And we'll have opportunity to celebrate that more downstairs as we gather around a wonderful meal. Now, when we were thinking about this 25th anniversary celebration, and I was meeting in staff with Desiree and Greta and others, the thought just crossed my mind that what I would like to do would be to preach the sermon that I preached when I candidated to become your pastor over 25 years ago. And so today, since we're celebrating 25 years of really of ministry together, I thought it would be fitting to do that. And I remembered, of course, the text. It's such a great text, right? Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And so I thought, well, that preaches whenever you would share that. So I know that several of you were in attendance on that Sunday morning, and so I trust you will forgive me for offering up a little bit of a rerun from 25 years ago. I know you'll remember every point that I shared back then when I preached it 25-some years ago. Ever been in a church service where there's just no life? I heard an amen. Where there's just no energy or no vitality. Have you ever been part of a church where it appears as though there's really no life to be found in that congregation? Or have you ever been to a church service where you're aware that you have no life? That there's little sense within your own spirit of being alive, of being enthused about life with God, about worshiping Christ, about doing the work of the kingdom. Well, as we think about it, in our day, as it was 25 years ago, it's easy to get discouraged and disappointed with the church. What with all the polarization we experience, the hypocrisy and the scandals that rock the church, not to mention the distractions and the lethargy and the selfishness that so often plague local church congregations. In the vision of the prophet Ezekiel that he receives and is shared in the 37th chapter of that book, the people of God in Ezekiel's day, which is the nation of Israel, is in such a place. They are portrayed in that vision as a valley of dry bones. Now, just a little background into the text. Ezekiel was called to be a prophet of God to Israel when that nation was living through one of the darkest periods of its history. Last week we looked at the book of Ruth together, and we noted that that book begins by saying, in the time of the judges, which was also a pretty dark period in the history of Israel. But this one is equally, if not worse. Because decades of disobedience by God's people and decades of them refusing to acknowledge and solely worship the Lord God had led to their being judged by God, by being defeated militarily by the Babylonians, and by many of the children of Israel being taken off into captivity. And then, as if things couldn't get any worse, the city of Jerusalem is overrun, and that included the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, which was, of course, for the nation of Israel, the preeminent symbol of Israel's religious and national life. And so the nation of Israel, the people of God in the text, was as good as dead. And they say as much, right? In verse 11 of Ezekiel 37, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Now, the word for dried up is actually a little bit stronger than that. It means they're very dry. They're like ready to crumble into dust dry. And hope, it's not just left town. Hope has actually died. The word is, it has perished. And as Ezekiel has his vision, he looks at this valley of dry bones that the Lord has put before him, and they're not even given a proper burial. It calls to mind that sometimes the church can feel like a valley of dry bones. Maybe not completely dead, but not particularly effective either. Not particularly vibrant or alive. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that in congregations, and we find that we are so busy doing so many things, and we're running ourselves ragged, and we are dying a slow death, and we wonder, for what? For what? The church can feel like a valley of dry bones when we become aware that, wow, there's a lot of sin here. Our values and our morals are not that different from the world. We seem so preoccupied by unimportant things. Or we're so indifferent to the poor, to the unborn and the defenseless, to those who suffer from systemic and personal racism. Church can feel like a really place of dry bones when we see within the church a preoccupation with materialism and accumulation that robs us of the joy of sacrificial and generous giving. And when the church looks more and more like the world around us, it's easy to lose hope. And it's easy to despair that nothing will change, to feel as if the church is dying a slow death, a death of irrelevance and compromise, of preoccupation with preserving the institution of the church while neglecting the transformative power of the gospel that changes people's lives and can change the world. Or sometimes it's not the church. Sometimes it's us. Our own bones feel spiritually dry. And that can happen for any number of reasons. It happens when we realize we've drifted from Jesus. And the choices we have made in our lives, the cumulative small choices, and sometimes large ones, have more and more pushed Christ to the periphery of our devotion. Well, we go to worship when it's convenient and when we have nothing better to do that morning. But you know, when we go sometimes and people start telling us about things going on in their lives, oh man, their needs. Sometimes when we're at that place and our bones are dry, the needs of others elicit more a spirit of irritation than it does concern. On the other end of that spectrum of how our bones can become spiritually dry, it can happen when our faith has been shaken by unexpected loss or by undeserved pain and disappointment. It's not because it's what we wanted, but we feel in those moments as if God is absent, as if he is distant and uncaring. And we, like these Israelites, are feeling cut off, and hope has died. So what are we to do? I think that's normally the question we ask, but really the better question is, what's God going to do? Because you notice what he does when he takes the prophet into the valley of the dry bones. The prophet is instructed by God to preach. Preach to them bones. I got to say, I know some preachers who have preached to some really tough crowds, but I can't imagine a crowd tougher than this, right? But hear what happens. Hear what happens when the Word of God and the Spirit of God conspire together to bring life to the dry bones. In verses 4 through 8 of the text, Ezekiel preaches about the power, and it's significant, the power of the sovereign Lord. What does that word sovereign mean? It's a title for God that appears four times in these 14 verses. And it conveys the absolute authority of God to do anything. To do anything. And so he says to Ezekiel, preach to those bones. Preach to them and tell them that the sovereign Lord has the power to bring life from death. And then, I mean, I wonder what went through Ezekiel's mind. It's funny when in the text, God asks Ezekiel, well, can these bones live? It's kind of like Ezekiel throws the ball back in God's court, right? Well, sovereign Lord, you know. I don't think Ezekiel thought much of that happening. Well, Lord, you know. But then he obeys, and then there's this rattling. And the bones come together, and then they get joined by the tendons, the connective tissue that attaches muscle to bone. Then each one is covered by skin and by flesh. And do you notice what God's doing? The process of disintegration is being reversed. The process of death is being reversed. The process by which these bodies have decomposed into very dry bones that are about ready to crumble to the touch is being wondrously and miraculously reversed. And it builds and it builds and it builds, except for one thing. One thing. There is, as the text says at the end of verse 8, there is no breath in them. And because there's no breath in them, God comes to the prophet and he says, he commands him to preach one more time. But this time he's not preaching to the dry bones, which have become these lifeless bodies. No, Ezekiel is called upon to preach to the breath, to the four winds, to bring life. To bring life to these bodies. For the bodies to come alive, they need the Holy Spirit. They need the very breath of life. 10 times in this text, in this vision, the Hebrew word ruach occurs. And in this text, it's variously translated as spirit. That's what it is in verse 1 and verse 14 that sort of bracket the whole vision. It's also translated as breath. It's also translated as wind. It's the same Hebrew word. And verse 9 is critical. For the bodies to become alive, they must have this life-giving breath. The life-giving Spirit of God has to be breathed into them. It's interesting that in verse 9, the verb breathe is the same Hebrew word that's used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God, having formed a human body from the soil, but it's still lifeless, until he breathes into it the breath of life. And just like in Genesis 2, where the body was fully formed but not alive until God's breath, until God's spirit was breathed into it, so is the case here. These dead bodies won't come alive until the Spirit of God, until the breath is given to them. And that's exactly what the Sovereign Lord does. The breath, the Holy Spirit enters these lifeless bodies, and then they spring to life. They stand on their feet, a vast army, Ezekiel says in verse 10, ready to do battle and defeat the forces of evil in this world. So if God can bring dry, decaying bones to life, there are absolutely no limits to the power of what God can do. Of what God can do. Now, we're in the Pentecost season. And the promise of Pentecost and the promise of this season is that God's Spirit and God's Spirit alone has been given. But it has been abundantly poured out. And what that means for us when our bones are dry, when we're weary, and we're worried, and whatever the circumstances that lead to us, that God will bring life to these weary and worn bodies and spirits. And God gives His Spirit to fill the life of His body, the church. What the vision of the valley of the dry bones does is it challenges us personally and collectively as a local church and all local congregations to view our personal circumstances or the current state of our church body not through our own limited vision, but through the eyes of God, through the Sovereign Lord. Can these bones live? That's the question God asks Ezekiel. From the perspective of our despair and discouragement, of course not. But from the perspective of the Sovereign Lord, just sit back, stand back, get back, and watch what God will do. Bones rush to their appropriate partner. Ligaments bind them all together. Flesh covers them, and then skin seals them tight. And then God sends His Spirit, bringing the power of resurrected life through the Holy Spirit into these what were once dead bodies, but are now alive in the power of Christ. And so the people of God snap to attention and move out as this vast army, reclaiming the world from the destructive forces of sin through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Jesus promised us, right? Your bones are feeling dry, as we heard in the gospel this morning. Keep praying. He promised us that all things are possible with God, and that He, Christ, would build this church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Can these bones live? Without a doubt. Absolutely. Without a doubt. For the Sovereign Lord has done it. He's done it before. He will continue to give life and salvation to us and through us. For as the text ends this morning, for as God told the prophet, I, the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken, and I have done it. I have done it. So let's stand, all right? Let's stand. Let's be that vast army declaring our faith that what is impossible for us is absolutely, unequivocally, the reality of life through the power of God and through the power of His life-giving Spirit. We're going to sing together to that end.